Good morning. Happy Mother's Day for all of our moms that are here this morning. And what a incredibly challenging week and just confusing week. It was leaked this week that there's a possibility that our Supreme Court will possibly be overturning Roe v. Wade. And I certainly do not want to get into anything political this morning, but we live in a backwards world when it costs $900 to get rid of a child and $30,000 in order to adopt a child. And as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I think murdering children and taking their life is certainly something that does not honor God and does not value the sanctity of life. And I feel like as a church, we ought to stand for the life of our children. And I would hope that as a church today, let me say this, if you're here today and you've ever had an abortion, we're not here to judge you. I can't imagine the pain and the difficulty of the decision that you had to make. But as Christians, I don't think that our response should be to picket Planned Parenthood, but I think we should be on the front lines ready to serve those who are in need if these laws do pass. And I think that should be the heart of our church, not a political stance, but one of compassion and one of purpose, and that's to help serve those who've been disenfranchised and who feel like they don't have a choice. And we certainly want to be there as a church to do that. And so I want to take just a moment this morning and pray for our Supreme Court justices and just pray for our country. I don't normally do this because I tend to try to be apolitical when it comes to the pulpit, but I don't think that valuing the life of our children is being political in any way. I just think that's being biblical, and I want to pray for that this morning if we could be so kind to do that. Father, we love you so much. And Lord, we really live in a world that's confused. We live in a world, Lord, that just it certainly feels upside down in so many ways. And Lord, I know that you came not to condemn the world, but that through you that the world might be saved. And Lord, we're certainly not here to condemn anyone or judge anyone's motives or the decisions that they've made in their past. And Lord, we certainly stand for women's rights. We want them to have access to medical care. And we know all the issues of the day and the arguments. But God, we pray for our Supreme Court justices and their houses are being picketed right now for taking a stance on the sanctity of life. And God, we just pray for your will to be done. And Lord, if it's not done, I pray that as Christians that we'd have a testimony that would be a light to this world. Because the greatest need in this world, Lord, is that people know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so regardless of what the laws of the land are, we can still live righteously. We can still live in a way, Lord, that promotes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would do that in love. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. My wife and I were able to get away last week for a few days to celebrate her birthday. She ended her trip not feeling well, and then come to find out there were some other things that she has going on. So she's not here today on Mother's Day, so if you would pray for her quick recovery. But I love my wife. She's an incredible mother to our children. I love my mom. Man, she is a gem. And I just am so thankful for the women in my life that have helped me to be a better man. And I pray and trust that you will thank those that you need to today. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 5, the Bible says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Over the last several weeks, we've been studying the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes, Jesus gives us his manifesto. And a manifesto is a declaration of motive or intentions. Basically, Jesus came and he's teaching his disciples what the kingdom of God should look like. And he's teaching them what it means to be a kingdom maker, and those who would usher in the kingdom of God, and those who would reflect the kingdom of God, and those who follow Jesus and have the character of Jesus in their life would actually be pursuing, if you will, and developing these very characteristics in their own heart and in their own life. And the manifestos of Jesus, the Beatitudes, they lead us to be kingdom makers, and kingdom makers live out these declarations that Jesus give us in the Sermon on the Mount, otherwise known as the Beatitudes, and we live these from the inside out. And that's one of the things that we've said over the last several weeks, and that is this, is that kingdom makers live to be something. We live to be something, not just do something. And that's what's so interesting about being a Christian is a lot of people, we use the word, well, you know, he's a really good Christian. Well, to me, personally, that feels a bit like an oxymoron, because what is a good Christian? I mean, I don't know about you, but I kind of struggle with this thing. Sometimes I get angry. Sometimes I get frustrated or impatient. Meekness, right? Meekness is the farthest thing from my mind. Can I get an amen? If you've got teenage kids, you know what I'm talking about, right? Meekness. God's saying, Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to pursue something, and that something is who you are in your soul. It's who you are on the inside. It's what your character is becoming. That first and foremost is the pursuit of those who follow Jesus. You see, in God's kingdom, kingdom makers are blessed. That's what the Beatitudes are all about, living the blessed life, living a life of success defined by the kingdom and prosperous when the character of Christ is developed in our lives. Our whole world around us could be falling apart at the seams, but as followers of Jesus, as kingdom makers, our lives can be blessed. Amen? They can be successful. They can be prosperous in the kingdom. So Jesus, instead of offering his disciples power, instead of giving them what they wanted, he offered them purpose. And those who follow Jesus pursue developing the character and life of Jesus in their life. The difference is we're not pursuing religion. We're not pursuing being a Baptist. We're not pursuing being a Catholic or a Lutheran or a Methodist or a Wesleyan. We're pursuing the life of Jesus Christ. We're pursuing a relationship with the one who can change us and transform us from the inside out to be the people that he has called us to be, and that is a people of joy. And listen, I don't know about you, but some of you need some joy in your life. Amen? Some of you look a little aggravated today. Maybe you didn't get your Pop-Tart or your bagel. I don't know. But hey, God's people ought to be the most happy people on this planet. We ought to be happy. We ought to be full of joy. We ought to have purpose. We ought to know what it looks like to be prosperous and successful in this life and the life to come. And that only comes by the way of the Beatitudes. And in the Beatitudes today, Jesus shares the power of meekness. The power of meekness. The power of meekness to bring forth real joy, real purpose, and real peace in your life. And I don't know about you, but I could use some of that right now. You see, the area of meekness for me, if I'm being honest, is a struggle. Just being honest. I don't like being treated what I would perceive as unfair. You know what I mean? How many of you know what I mean? Say amen. I don't like it when people treat me unfair. For instance, if I'm going to Home Depot and I see a parking spot and someone slides into my spot because it's my spot, right? I had my blinker on. I was there first. They took my spot. I mean, this morning, every week I take the girl. Every week, they know I'm coming. I go to McDonald's every week. Every Sunday morning, I go and I take the girls to McDonald's, and I get an Egg McMuffin Value Meal with a Diet Coke, and I pull up today and say, I want an Egg McMuffin. You know I'm coming. I want an Egg McMuffin Value Meal and a Diet Coke. Well, we're out of Diet Coke. What? You had one job, McDonald's. I needed an Egg McMuffin Value Meal with a Diet Coke, and I'm being mistreated, right? I want to set things right. I'm sitting here blaming Biden. I mean, we have, you know, issues of supply chain. I mean, I can't get a Diet Coke in Springfield, Missouri, you know? It's crazy. It's unfair. I want to set things right. I imagine you found yourself in situations where you were treated unfairly. You wanted vengeance. I tell you what, I mean, I wanted to do something to McDonald's this morning because they didn't have my meal. Or at least you just want to stand your ground. Maybe you want to stand your ground to your arch nemesis. Maybe that arch nemesis is someone you live with. Don't look next to the person right now. It might be a spouse. It might be a sibling. I don't know, you know. It might be someone that you work with. And whether it's a sibling or a spouse or a coworker or a boss, Jesus says that the way to peace is meekness. Jesus spoke to this very issue in the Beatitudes, and he calls us to live in a posture of surrender. Jesus calls you and me in a world that's turned upside down, that's aggressive and unfair. And listen, life is unfair. Marriage is unfair. Kids are unfair. I mean, I don't know, man. I got a PowerPoint from one of my kids this week giving me an outline why I needed to buy them summer shoes, because that's a thing now. When I was a kid, I got a pair of shoes a year. Can I get an amen on that? And it was in the fall when school started. And I got a couple outfits that my mom put on layaway at Ross, because they used to do layaway back in the day. That's how poor we were. And she'd save all summer so that we could have clothes. And I'm not preaching to any one of my kids in particular. I'm just saying. We live in an unfair world. And so Jesus wants us to live a life of surrender. Posture of surrender. And he's teaching that meekness is the path to peace and joy. It's the path to what he says in this text to inherit the earth. And we would think, man, I'm going to inherit the earth. I'm going to conquer this thing. I'm going to take over. I'm going to exert my authority. I'm going to exert my power, because that's what you do to get what you want, to make sure things are right, to make sure things are fair. You see, in the first century, the Jews were ruled by the Romans, and so they're looking for a king to come and rule in their favor and give them back what was theirs. They were under Roman rule, and if you know anything about world history, if you know anything about church history, you know the Romans were a cruel people. I mean, when they would conquer a city or a village or a country, they would take the ruler, the emperor, the king, or whatever of that domain, and they would put their throat on their neck to show dominance over them. And so they're living under this oppression. Jesus came to be king, and he came to set up his kingdom, but it was a different kind of kingdom. It was a spiritual kingdom. And for that to happen, he began to teach his disciples what it meant to be kingdom makers and what it would take for them to usher in the kingdom, to live in a way that's subversive. We live in this world, but we are not of this world, and we are ushering in a reality that is yet to come. Are you guys with me? Say amen. We're ushering this thing in. And that's why we got to be careful about what we post on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Some of you should, like, you should get Donald Trumped on this, right? Some of you should just get your Twitter and your socials taken away from you, because you're mean. And you're not reflecting the meekness of Jesus Christ. So here's the big thought that we want to talk about today, and that is this. A surrendered life is a secure life. Because the next time you find yourself struggling, do not pop off or burn the place down. I don't want to admit that I was tempted to do that today. Because you've been treated unfairly, we can learn from the words of Jesus that the path to security, success, and blessing is meekness. And meekness is reflected in a life surrendered to the will, the way, and the word of God. All too often, we take matters into our own hands. I do this. I take matters into my own hands. And every single time, I make a mess of things. My marriage, my kids, those that I work with, those I love, my friends. And Jesus is teaching us that we can surrender our life and its outcome to him. And that begins with a call to radical submission and radical surrender. You see, meekness is not weakness. It's total and radical submission to the will of God out of a love for Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, if you're going to yield, if you're going to live in a disposition of surrender, a disposition of a submission to the will of God for your life, you're going to have to do that by way of the Holy Spirit, because that does not come naturally. Meekness isn't a personality type. We often think, oh, that person's really humble or they're really meek. Man, I've met some people that are quiet. They're mean as the devil. You know, they're just quiet about it. And you think, oh, they're really disciplined. They're really nice. They're really meek. No, man, they just mean in other ways, right? And so meekness is not a personality type. It doesn't mean you're a pushover. In fact, meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. What is meant by meekness? It means this, and please write this down today. I will not use my power or exert my rights. That's meekness. The classical word itself is it means to bring power under control. It was used when you would take a horse, like a stallion. Yesterday was the Kentucky Derby, and you rein that horse in with bits, and you bring the power of that horse, You bring it under your control. That's what meekness is. I have the right. I have the power. I'm entitled to this, but I'm going to lay down my rights, my entitlement. I'm going to lay down my authority. It means that I will receive injury with the belief that God will vindicate me in time. I'm not talking abuse. Please don't misunderstand or misconstrue me on that. If you're in a toxic relationship or an abusive relationship, this is not what we're talking about today. But the world around us rejects the idea of submission to anything as senseless. The way to make it in life is to take control, assert yourself, rise above others, take all that you can get, submit to no one. Kingdom makers, we reject this philosophy. You follow Jesus, you can't live this way. In fact, when Jesus came, they expected a sovereign king. But what he offered was a suffering servant. You get the difference? They wanted a king. They wanted someone who would overthrow Rome. And Jesus said, I ain't come to do that. I came to die on a cross. I came to wash your feet. I came to heal, forgive. I came to remove guilt and shame. I came to restore and redeem. I didn't come to rule and reign. That's coming. But that's not what we're doing right now. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not on his own interests. This doesn't sound anything like what our world says to do. But look on the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Another way of saying this, have this mind in you that was in Jesus. Think the way that Jesus thinks. Have the attitude that Jesus had. That doesn't come natural. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But listen to this. Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. The greatest example of radical submission was a surrendered Jesus. Jesus surrendered his life, and he gave his blood, and he shed it on the cross for my sins and for yours, and he gave everything in serving so that we might have everything that we need. The greatest example of radical submission was the surrender of Jesus, and now as followers, we too step in the calling of submission. If we're going to follow Jesus, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that we won't be treated unfairly or that we will not be offended or that we will not be hurt or that we will not get ours, as the world says. But what I'm saying is we'll have a faith so full that we don't need what this world has to offer. Because we find our greatest joy in obeying Jesus and living the life that Jesus lived, that being the example that Jesus left for us to be so that others might know of his radical love and of his radical surrender on the cross. You see, a heart transformed. Please note this today. It's not in your notes, but I'd love for you to write this down. A heart transformed has a measured response, not a revengeful response. A heart transformed has a measured response, not a revengeful response. And that just means this, is that we entrust ourselves. We entrust the outcome of our life. We entrust the relationships and the hurts and the retaliation and the unfairness of life. We entrust that to a sovereign God. And we allow his wisdom and his word in his way to determine the outcome, not ours. I often think in my life, you know, man, there's some things that are difficult. People can be difficult. I don't know about you, but doesn't it just feel like sometimes God puts someone in your life that's just so aggravating that you feel like your life would be perfect if they weren't there? Can I say amen? Again, don't look at the person next to you. But sometimes it just feels like, man, if this person wasn't in my, whoo, man, life would be a gem, right? But what if God allows that person into your life so that you can become the person that you actually need to become? And that person is there to help you grow and change and become more like Jesus Christ. You see, Christ calls us to surrender our lives to him. Just like he surrendered his on the cross and his death made possible our life and purpose, and a surrendered life discovers the power to truly change and make a difference that is in Christ alone. And listen, we want to control people, we want to control outcomes, but you do not control what you think you control. Control is an illusion. Let me give you an example. I got a 16 and a 17-year-old. It's my hope that they go through life and they are healthy and that they never have a car accident or nothing bad ever happens to them. That's the hope of every parent. Amen? I go on vacation. The first day of vacation, I get a phone call. Crazy wailing in the background. Dad, I wrecked the car. That's awesome. Are you okay? Yes, I am. Great. You're going to pay for it, right? We just don't control what we think we control. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. But we've been invited to entrust our life to the one who controls all things. See, kingdom makers aren't looking to secure their position. They're not looking to secure life. They're surrendered to the will of God. And it may not make sense, and it may be difficult, but we submit. We yield. See, there's this call to radical submission, but there's also in this moment of surrender, in this moment of submission, right, we find a call to restful confidence. See, kingdom makers don't find strength in themselves, but they find it in the Holy Spirit of God. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or meekness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. When your life is surrendered to the Holy Spirit, you have an inner confidence and a courage that cannot be shaken, listen, by circumstances or critics. And when you start living a life that's surrendered to God, it's going to look fundamentally different than anyone else around you. It might look different to your spouse. It might look different to your sister or your brother or your siblings. It might look different to those around you. And you it might feel weird. And listen, as Christians, we're supposed to be weird, but weird in a good way, not weird in ways that you guys usually are. Our lives are supposed to reflect the life of Jesus. It's an upside-down world. It's like Stranger Things. I think we'd agree that much of our fret and frustration and anger is a result of not getting what we want. It stems from not getting our way, our desire. Whether you're married, maybe you've been divorced, it's a genuine struggle, listen, to be at rest when all you want is revenge. I'm going to tell you, when the kids come in and they take the last Pop-Tart, I want revenge. I do, man. I know that's a small thing, but sometimes I can be a really small person, right? I like Pop-Tarts. I can have a Pop-Tart in the microwave on a napkin for 20 seconds with a glass of skim milk. I want that. Sometimes it's better than a therapy session. I'm just saying. And when they take that away from me, life gets weird for me. I just want revenge. I want to go to their room, and I just want to start taking stuff out of their room and hiding it from them, right? It's hard, man. I don't know. Like, marriage is hard. Divorce is certainly hard. It's hard to be at rest in your soul when you just want revenge. It's hard when you resent this person so much. To struggle not to seek retaliation with our words and actions when we have been personally treated so knowingly unfair. It's even more challenging to trust God fully. I think one of the hardest things I know to do is to trust and have faith in God. I don't know about you. It's hard for me to just be like, it's hard for me sometimes to just take it in the chin. Several years ago when I first planted our church, and I was a young pastor, and I was just doing the best I could, loving the people, trying to make hospital visits, trying to be there in counseling, do all the things that you're supposed to do as a pastor. And I had a man in my church, and he's in heaven today. His name is Jim Davis. And every time I'd see Sheila, I'd just say, God bless you, Sheila. Because Jim was a hard man to be around. Very critical. You could never do anything right around Jim. Because he knew a better way, or he was better, or you just weren't good enough. And it didn't matter who you were. He was just going to criticize you. And I knew that week one of my deacons came to me. And one of my deacons said to me, they're like, man, Jim's been talking trash and stuff about you and all. I said, you know what, man, don't worry about it. You know, whatever. Well, that week, guess who called me? It was Jim Davis. Jim Davis calls me up crying, weeping on the phone. He says, man, I need you to meet me up at Christ Community Hospital. I said, what's going on? Sheila's got an aneurysm. I don't know if she's going to make it. You know what I did? I got in my car and I drove through Chicago and I got to the hospital as fast as I could. And I grabbed him by the hand and I prayed for Sheila. More for her sake than his. I'm just kidding. Hey, look, man, I'm human too. But I was able to bury Jim And I was able to bury Sheila. And they're wonderful people, and they have such a wonderful testimony. But Jim struggled with that. But you know what it is to try to do right by people? You know what it is to try to do right by people, and all they do is hurt you? And you just want revenge. You want to do what's right. But it's hard. It's so hard sometimes to do that. The Jews wanted freedom from Roman oppression, and that's not a bad desire, but instead Jesus called them to trust him and his timing and his will for them. So the idea of trusting someone or something else to deliver me in my moment of perceived need is absurd unless the one I'm trusting is Jesus. Amen? Man, if you trust Jesus, it's going to shake out in the end, one way or the other. How many of you are going through this life? Let's get real today. How many of you are angry right now? You just live with a low-grade anger, resentment, and frustration? I mean, don't raise your hand. That'd be weird right now. Wait till I ask, right? But some of you are. Maybe you've got some parents that really hurt you and mistreated you. Maybe right now your spouse is clamming up or shutting down, or they're being mean in some way or another, or there's just some vindictiveness in a relationship. Maybe there's a past divorce or past hurt or past, I don't know. But if you're honest with God and you're honest with yourself, how is this anger and this frustration and this deep-seated resentment helping you live the life that God has called you to live? And are others around you better because of your anger and your frustration? Look, man, I mean, there are times where you just want to roll your sleeves up and go to a street fight with somebody because they've hurt someone that you love. Right, amen? But that's not what God's calling us to do. God's not calling us to that. God saw his people suffering by the hands of the Romans. And he says, no, man, live a meek life and you'll inherit the earth. Live this way, you will be blessed. Live this way, you will have purpose. Live this way, and you will find a place in my kingdom. And yet so many of us walk around with anger and frustration and resentment and revenge. Man, when you followed Jesus and surrendered his plan, you have this inner confidence that this world cannot conceive of experiencing. A few years ago, I was sharing with a pastor friend of mine how I struggled to genuinely wait on God. God, I struggle with this. I want to fix things. I want to manage outcomes. I'm like, man, I'm really struggling to wait on God. And this is what he said to me. He laughed. He laughed at me to my face. He didn't wait till he got home and tell his wife. He laughed in my face. He says, yeah, I think God gets a kick out of watching you guys that like to have everything figured out ahead of time. And I said, you're a jerk, you know. But he was right. Because we all are kind of control freaks to some degree or another. Jesus invites us into an inner confidence in him and his plan not to control our circumstances. Kingdom makers live in strength of that reality. The reality that we have that God is in control of our circumstances, our life, and its outcomes. And those who hurt us and those who treat us unfairly will be dealt with justly by God himself. And you don't believe me? Read through the book of Psalms. Just read, because it feels like sometimes that the unjust and the unrighteous, all they do is get ahead. It just feels that way, right? And God says, no, man, in the end, it's going to shake out. And what we find in this text is Jesus says, listen, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so we don't just have this call to this inner peace and this inner confidence, but we also get a call to a real purpose. So Jesus says, you're going to inherit the earth. Kingdom makers understand the inversion of this truth. They understand the upside of this principle. You see, you can surrender and you can have an inner confidence when you understand what Jesus offers his followers in terms of purpose and in peace. See, if you attempt to climb over others to get what you want in this life, you're going to regret it and you're going to lose out on peace and reward in eternity. And that's transforming to know that. But quite frankly, living a life of revenge, resentment, climbing over other people reveals that we haven't listened. You know what that reveals? Let me just slow this down real quick. When my desire is constantly for revenge, when my desire is just a constant anger, resentment, and frustration toward one who has hurt me or the others around me, or if I'm just willing to climb over whoever I need to and exert my authority to get what I want because it's what I desire, it reveals that I either, A, haven't truly followed Jesus, or at best, that in this moment of my life, I'm not following Jesus. It reveals one or the other. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have found myself in the latter. When I abuse my authority, when I exert my entitlement, when I get impatient and angry and frustrated, I'm not living the life of Jesus as it's described and defined in the Beatitudes. I'm not doing that. I'm not reflecting a kingdom that Jesus is trying to usher in. I'm not showing compassion and grace and kindness and love and mercy and grace. No, I'm showing it's about me. And I want what I want. And I want to be treated fairly. And I deserve better than this. And I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. Now, the world's tempting, man, with its perfect. You look around, you get on social media, Instagram, Facebook, all these people posting selfies. You know, people don't usually post selfies of, like, their worst day ever. You know? Like, hey, man, I just had my arm amputated today. God is good. You know? No one's posting garbage like that. They're posting, like, their vacation pictures. They're posting, like, you know, my kid graduated. My kid got into this. Everyone's posting their best life, a snapshot of their moment. And media and culture drags us in through advertising and permeates our hearts with the untruth that power, pleasure, and possessions are the path to peace and joy. And Jesus says, nope, nope, not at all. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, successful are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Surrender and yield your life to me. Trust the will of God that I have for your life. Let me do my best work in you, and then it'll come out through you. If that happens, you'll inherit the earth. Yeah, he's talking about a future kingdom to come, and we can secure a life here and now and eternity by learning to submit and surrender. That's real purpose. Listen, you may never preach to thousands, but if the character of God and the character of Jesus is developed in you, that's a win. That's a win. If your kids grow up and they see that you're humble and meek and kind and compassionate, even though you've been treated unfairly, even though you've been hurt, even though you've been offended, your kids and your friends and your coworkers and those around you in the church will say, how in the world did he or she get through this? And the answer is going to be through the grace of Jesus Christ. The kingdom will have come forth from you, and it will emanate to others because Jesus is so real and Jesus is so powerful and Jesus is so in control of everything that we find this restful peace and confidence that no matter how bad things are or how unfairly we're treated, we find peace and we find purpose and joy and we find hope in the work Jesus is doing in us to become like him. Kingdom makers understand their calling. Our calling is to live for eternity. A real, significant, eternal purpose. Kingdom makers willingly forfeit the temporal pleasure, the temporal revenge for eternal purpose. Because we know the best is yet to come. And that's why Jesus would later say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Kingdom makers are called to live a spirit and a life of meekness, surrender, confidence, and purpose. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to consider turning away from the world's offer to find happiness and controlling every outcome, from getting revenge, from being resentful, from being entitled because you've been treated unfairly. Because if the path to security is surrender, what would that look like for you this week? If the path to security, that's the big idea today, the secure life is the surrendered life. If that's the path to security, what does that look like for you this week? In what ways Would you need to surrender your desire to control or criticize someone who hurt you or someone who's offended you and trust God for peace? I mean, come on. Some of you this morning, the greatest need that you have right now in this moment is to find your peace in God. Because at the end of the day, your problem isn't with people. That's horizontal. At the end of the day, what this really all comes down to is a vertical relationship with God, because we're not mad at people. I mean, we think we are. But at the end of the day, we're mad at God. God, really? You gave me this husband. You gave me this wife. You gave me these kids. You gave me this job. You put me in a situation. And they hurt me. They offended me. They did me wrong. And God, if you're in control, why did you let this happen to me? If you love me, come on. I can do better than this. And not a single one of us would ever say that out loud. And so our response is to be mad at the people that are the closest to us. To be frustrated and vindictive. And so the greatest work that might need to happen today is a work in your heart. To find peace and purpose in surrendering and yielding your circumstances to God. And letting Him develop meekness in your soul. And imagine if marriage or a family or work or school where we exercise meekness, a willingness to surrender and truly trust God with our lives. Are there any folks in this room who are in a rough marriage? Or maybe you had an actual divorce and you just want to retaliate? I just want to get back at them. And everyone liked them. Jesus said, consider meekness. See, the upside to trusting Jesus is far greater than getting even with the offender. You hear me? Say amen if you hear me. Hey, listen. The upside to trusting Jesus is far greater than getting even with the offender. This means you don't take it out on future relationships, because that's resentment. The life of a kingdom maker is dead to himself. He or she lives for Jesus, not for himself. This is why meekness comes so hard. You know why? You know why meekness is hard? Because we love ourselves. We love what we want. We want what we want. And so we're going to use whatever we can to get what we want. Maybe your work situation is cutthroat. You've been mistreated. Jesus says, consider meekness and watch how I can give you peace and purpose. Maybe you're here this morning and revenge and resentment is devouring your joy, derailing your purpose. Can I encourage you this morning simply, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus and let's usher in this kingdom with every head bowed and every eye closed. How many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, I certainly know what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I know what it means to be right with God. I know what it means to be forgiven my sins. And I know if I were to slip out into eternity today, heaven is my home. Could you lift your hand and give testimony of that? Just let me see those hands today, please. How many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, I'm uncertain that I know and follow Jesus. I don't know that I'm right with God. I don't know that I'm forgiven of my sins. I am angry. I'm struggling with it. I don't want to be this way. I don't know that if I were to die today that I would slip out into eternity. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you this morning? Is there anyone that's like that's here today? Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? How many of you say to me this morning, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. This thing of meekness is kind of foreign to me. I am struggling with some hurt and offenses. And I want revenge. I want to retaliate. But more importantly, I want to follow Jesus. And I want to leave my hurt. I want to leave my offenses. I want to become the person that God wants me to become. I want to be the person that God wants me to be. I want to live for real purpose. And I'm tired of allowing life to devour my peace and my joy and derail my purpose. And I want to live as a kingdom maker with meekness. How many would lift your hand and say, I want that for my life today? Amen, 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 amen. With heads bowed, eyes closed, let's all stand to our feet this morning. Father in heaven, I'm so thankful, God, for your word. And I'm so thankful that I get to do life with our church family. And God, I know this is an area of struggle for me. I pray that my passion this morning would not indicate that I have arrived in this area of my spiritual life. In fact, just quite the opposite. This is a constant struggle for me to lay down my rights, to lay down what I'm entitled to lay down my authority to do what is your will, to live out your ways and to follow your word. And I just pray this morning that you would speak to hearts on this Mother's Day. Families are a mixed bag. We know that. We like to celebrate the fathers and the mothers and all that goes into a day like today, but there are some here today that didn't have a good mother. There are others here today that they can't even have kids. And there's a hurt and an absence and a vacuum there. God, I just pray that we'd bring our hurts, our offenses, and our lives to the altar today. That we'd find real hope and real peace and real joy in the work that you want to do in us. The character that you want to build in us and demonstrate through our life. And I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I want to be real clear today. I meant what I prayed in my preaching today. Please don't confuse my passion for the false perception that maybe I have arrived at this area in my life. I haven't. In fact, this is one of the greater struggles in my life, is to be meek. And the reason is because I feel like in my life there's been many times where I've been treated unfairly, many times where I've been hurt, many times where I've been betrayed. But if I don't keep my heart sensitive to God, if I don't live in a disposition of surrender, I'm going to hurt the ones I love the most. My wife, my kids, my church family, the staff. I don't want that for them. I don't want to lead people down a place of hurt and down a path that's going to harm them. If I don't deal with this, it affects a lot of people. And I want you to think about that this morning. If you don't deal with the area of your life that's so offensive, so hurt, so much resentment there, how is that going to affect those around you? And this morning, Jesus is saying, come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and listen, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And some of you are so tormented in your souls and in your inner man, and you need the rest this morning that Jesus offers. And I'm going to invite you to come on the first note as Derek and the worship team sings this morning. So would you come? Derek?